the name of Jesus. So glad that you're here today, all of our guests. We appreciate you being here worshiping the Lord with us. I want to invite you to the Trinity family. You've come to the right place. We appreciate, love you, and welcome you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read the first six verses as my text this morning. Title of my message, Live, Die, Sink, or Swim. We got to have that kind of attitude. Amen. Live, die, sink, or swim. The enemy's out to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But we're going to have a determination. I said, we're going to have a determination. Every time the devil looks at you, he sees a creation that God made in His likeness. He hates you, despises you, wants to take you out and take somebody else with you as he takes you out. But thanks be to God, we've got the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, begin at verse number 1, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Paul speaking here, he said, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present at base among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we were walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having it in readiness to revenge all disobedience when you're disobedient, or when your obedience is fulfilled. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am sure that you have already realized that we are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. Especially in these times and the life that we're living in, it seems to be an all-out war against God's people. Whether Jew or Christian, it's not a war of conventional weaponry, but of a spiritual type where we seem to be bombarded on every side. As I've said in times past, it seems like if we could just deal with one battle at a time, we could kind of handle it. But when we're bombarded with everything all around about us, we feel like we can barely breathe, and it's hard for us to catch our breath, And we're even at times tempted to surrender and wave the white flag. And somebody said, no, no way. I know that we're all flesh. And we have times that we're more vulnerable than others. And the enemy knows your weakest link, and he knows your vulnerability. But I come to tell you today, church, that if we fight this good fight of faith, if we will be faithful till the very end, even if death, as the Bible tells us, we will inherit eternal life. This is only temporary, but eternal life is forever. In the book of Judges, chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Judges, it tells us of the circumstances that the children of Israel is in. And during those days of time, they are in a transition. Can anybody realize and understand that you and I today, with what's going on in Washington, D.C., what's going on around about us, we're in a transition. It seems like that almost our whole life we're in a transition. We're either having kids or getting rid of kids or sending them to college or doing this. Or we're in a transition. We're changing jobs. We're changing schools. We're constantly in a transition. And that's where the children of Israel was. They was in a transition.
because it was in a time where Joshua had taken over Moses' command. And during that command, as he had taken over it, the children of Israel followed diligently after the things of God. But at 110, when they put Joshua to bed in his grave, the children of Israel begin to wonder and do their own things and do their own ways and go their own ways and adapt to the things of the world. Listen to me closely. I want to drive this home to the comparison that they begin to adapt to the things of the world and the lust of the flesh, and they did not fight the good fight of faith, and they did not keep to the traditions of Moses and Joshua, because they desired, as they seen the things around about them, they lusted after them and went after those things. There was a time that they got so far away from God, and God told them, and He said there in I believe it's the third chapter, He said, "I brought you up out of Egypt, and I have brought you to a place, and I have made a covenant with you. And that covenant that I made with you, I expected you to stick with that covenant. If you would stick with that covenant, I'll never go back." But you refused not to stick to the covenant. And He said, "Why did you not do that?" I believe it's in the second chapter, in about the second or third verse. He said, "Why did you not do this?" Chapter 2, verse number 2. Just wanted to clarify that. Why did you not do that? They went their own way and done their own thing. I don't know. I've got notes this morning, but I don't feel like sticking to them, so you just pray for me, okay? Because I just want to get this across to you. He said, "I brought you out of the land of Egypt, a place to where you was a slave, a place to where you was used and abused. And I brought you to a place that flowed with milk and honey, cities that you did not build, vineyards that you did not plant, gardens that you had nothing to do with, but you are reaping the profit from them. And as a child of God, when He brings you out of sin, He saves you and He fills you with the Holy Ghost and He blesses your heart and your life. And we stay true to Him." He said, "I have brought you up out of Egypt, a spiritual Egypt. I have brought you out of slavery. I brought you out of all the troubles and trials. Not that we still do not have circumstances, but God said, 'I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to make you the lender, not the borrower.' God is going to bless you going in. He'll bless you coming out." And He said, "God will." And He's promised that He would fulfill His covenant with you. He has promised that. But because the children of Israel went their own way and began to desire the things of Canaan and all the false gods and all the circumstances there, and they begin to marry into the heathen countries, and they just done their own thing, and they served Baal, and they served Ashtaroth and Moloch, which actually they could really, they in total fullness, they put their children on the altar and sacrifice them with fire. After what God had done for them, after what God had blessed them with and what God had touched them with, they begin to serve the gods of the Canaanites and the Amorites and all the other ites that was there in that country. And God said, "Look, I would have took care of them, but you decided to go your own way. And because you decided to go your own way, I'm going to leave all the ites in the land, and they're going to be a thorn in your side. They're going to give you problems. They're going to give you troubles, and I'm going to leave them there to be a burr in your saddle to prove that I am God and you need to turn to me." And when they got in so much trouble and they'd get in so much slavery and they was persecuted, they'd cry out to God and God would send them a judge. And God would deliver them, and they would serve God for a little while. And when that judge would pass away, then they'd go right back into the same old thing. I wonder if we, in this hour that we live, and in the year 2021, or what year am I in, or whatever this age that we're in, from 2019 to wherever we're going till the Lord comes, I just wonder what difference we are than what the children of Israel is. They chose to do their own thing. And even though we don't put our children on the altar of sacrifice and burn them with fire, we're still sacrificing them to the heathens of this world. God left all the ites to show them that God was really true. Can I tell you real plainly today that what you permit in your life, sooner or later you're going to have to deal with the consequences of those things. Even today, what we tolerate, we have to deal with. When the children would cry out to God, God would bless them and God would send them a deliverer. The judges, and God would bring them out and God would deliver them. But I wonder today, as he tells us in that third chapter, he tells us that there was a generation that rose up that they did not see the miracles of God. There was a generation that grew up that did not know how to fight. There was a generation that grew up that was more willing to just compromise with whatever went along because they had not seen the miracles of God. And I feel like today, church, that perhaps that's exactly where we're at. We're in a generation, we're in a culture that has not seen the mighty move of God. And we that have once seen them, those that we have seen the things of God, we have let them dwindle away, and we have not taught our children, and we've not let them cut their teeth on the things of God that God has blessed us with and God has moved in our hearts and our lives. When was the last time we seen somebody stay up all night and pray till the fever broke from the child and God miraculously moved and healed them? When was the last time we fasted until God heard and answered our prayer? When was the last time that we come together and we was united in one mind, in one accord? When was the last time that we shared and watched each other's back and give and begin to pray and seek the Lord instead of criticize? When was the last time that we was totally loyal to the things of God, to the church? When was the last time that we was faithful and we dare not betray the things of God? When was the last time that we seen God move and His Spirit come through the church and the Holy Ghost took over and the power of God? When was the last time that we turned loose and said, I don't care what time it is when we get out. I don't care what time it is. I just want to bask in the very presence of God. When was the last time? The Bible tells us that there was a generation in the time of Israel, in the book of Judges, that had not seen the things of God and what they had done. They didn't have a clue how to fight. They didn't have a clue how to stand up against the things that was attacking them. They would rather adapt, and it was easier to adapt with the times and go with the flow than it was to come against the Canaanites and the Amorites and all the otherites. There was a time that it was easier to just go along with the flow. And I feel like that's where we are today, because we don't see the miracles we used to see. We don't see the dedication we used to see. We're in too big a hurry to get out of here and go do our own thing. But God is calling us back to a place to seek the old paths and to seek Him with all of our hearts and pray till we get an answer and seek God with everything that is within us. To abstain. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22 and through 24 tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil. And we seem just like the children of Israel. It's too easy to adapt to where we are. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul, body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. I looked up the word abstain, and it says to resist oneself from doing or enjoying something. As Paul said in his word, not everything is sinful, and I'm using my own interpretation, not everything is wrongful, but not everything is profitable to you. There's things that we allow in our life that is not profitable to us, and it takes us down instead of lifts us up. We refrain from the things of God instead of drawing closer. I can't understand for the life of me what the Bible says. We all say we believe the Bible and what it says, But it says to be more faithful to the things of God and to His house as you see the day approaching. As you see those things approaching, be more faithful. Go to God's house more. We need each other. We need that unity. We need that spirit of truth. We need God's touch. We need God's blessings. But yet we seem that our life is filled to the brim with everything else. I understand and fully realize we all need a vacation. And it would be great if all of us could take at least 2 weeks out of every month. And some we diligently try. But God is so important in our lives nowadays. I don't know about you, but I can even see those of my generation that has went backwards instead of forward, and it breaks my heart. I have seen those that went backwards instead of forward. And I was thinking a while ago, and some of you have heard me say this before, but I just believe it fits real good right here, right now, that I have, in my generation, I have seen people that was so dedicated and committed to God. You say, well, they really didn't have anything else to do. Oh, yeah, they did. They had plenty else to do. They had twice the work to do because they did not have the things to do it with like you and I do today. But we have forgotten those things. We haven't seen those things. We're in a generation. Just as Joshua in Judges was telling the story, there was a generation that rose up and did not see the miracles and did not see the greatness of God. But I can tell you of those, when I was a little boy, I went to church with an elderly lady, and she lived just down the street and around the corner from the church, had no refrigeration, and she would take her meat by it once a week, put it on the middle of the table and bless it, ask God not to let it spoil, even in the summertime. And God did not allow that meat to spoil until she used it all up for the glory of God. We got that kind of faith. She had that kind of faith that she could trust the Lord. I know people that literally had to depend on somebody else to bring them to church in a wheelchair, and they'd come and worship God as tears rolled down their face. Church, I believe with all of my heart, when was the last time that we seen a cancer fall off of somebody's face or neck? When was the last time that we've seen someone get out of their wheelchair and walk? When was the last time we've seen the lame to walk, the blinded eyes to see, the ears to unstop? Hey, God's still God today. He hasn't changed. But we're in a transition. We haven't seen it before, and so we don't believe, or we don't put out that faith. We don't know how to fight. They'll die sink or swim. I am persuaded to believe with everything that is within me. You may not, that's fine. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a day. I heard that bald-headed preacher turn red in the face and tell me that I was going to see some things I didn't think I'd ever see, and here they are. We're going to face a time. I don't know. If you remember, I've been preaching on warfare and spiritual warfare and battle for what, a month now, off and on? And I fully intended to go a different direction with this message this morning, and it just, God just began to deal with my heart, and it just kind of hit me as I was going over it last night again. Here we are at spiritual warfare. I believe we're in a very strategic time, church. And we need to learn to fight. We need to learn have that spirit of fight with inside of us in the spirit realm. We do not wrestle flesh and blood. We do not wrestle the things of this life with the warfare of the world. But we wrestle spiritually and we fight spiritually. You got to have the tenacity to stand against the devil and put him in his place with the love of God in your heart to show people the cross of Calvary. You got to have the love of God to let you know and to show you that the blessings of God are yea and amen, and you can take Jesus Christ at face value. You can allow Him. You can allow Him to touch your heart and to touch your life. Is there such a comparison that we see today? The children of Israel faced the Canaanites and all those other ites. you and I today, and if you look at that, you'll find that all those other ites was descendants of the Canaanites. So there's all those group of people, but there was one really national origin from them. And so it is with the devil. There's one devil, but he's got a lot of imps that he sends our way. Hello? We're fighting the devil from every side. Every time we look around, every time we look up, it seems like that there's a new devil. And you can rest assured that the next step you go in God, and we've often said, I've got to go to the next step. And we get to the next step, and we've forgotten to realize that there's a new devil for every level. And we fight that devil, and we wonder what in the world we're doing wrong. It's simply because the devil does not want you to go to the next level. The devil does not want you to see the miracles of God. The devil does not want you to see the power of God. The devil does not care if you stay where you're at and die on your pew and do nothing for God. But God desires that you to get up off of your blessed assurance and seek God with all of your heart. Learn to fight the devil with the grace of God and give God praise and give God glory. They served Baal and they served Ashtaroth. Baal was the supreme male deity of the Canaanites, and Ashtaroth was the supreme female deity. Along with Moloch, again, as I said a while ago, they literally sacrificed their children in the fire. And we have become so immune to things in our world today that we don't even realize what's happening and what's going on. We have adapted to the world's ways, just like the children of Israel. Stay with me for just a few minutes, okay? Would you? We have failed to adapt to the things of the world. We eat that which is sacrificed to idols because in our ignorance we have failed to do our homework. We partake of the activities of the world on God's day because we have failed to realize what day it is. I know that this is not the most popular message that there is. You could have probably stayed home and heard all kinds of flowery messages. But I come to prepare you to fight the good fight of faith. I come to prepare you to let the devil know that you don't have to take it no more. And that we are hungry to see the miracles of God in our church, in our lives, and in our family one more time. Are we? Are we really hungry? How hungry are we? Are we willing to stay up and pray all night long, even though we have to go to work in the morning, to see God move in the circumstance and situation? Are we hungry enough to seek God with everything that's within us to just make sure that we're closer to God tomorrow than we were today? Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pay the price? I've made mention to this to a few people, I think Wednesday night and perhaps even this morning. I talked to some people, but we had prayed for Brother Vandegrift that had fallen down his basement stairs, broke one of his vertebras, broke 11 ribs. He was in bad shape. They life-flighted him to Memphis Hospital. And when he got there, it was several hours before they got to him. When they examined him, he needed surgery, but the doctor said that he'll never make it through surgery. They said, I doubt if he'll ever go home from the hospital, let alone going through surgery. Can I tell you today, I believe he's in his private room. He is talking to the nurses. He was singing one of the nurses a spiritual song the other day. He's giving God praise and glory. The last I heard, he wasn't on any pain medications. He had went through surgery. God had lifted him up. I'm telling you, church, God's still in the healing business. We have trouble grabbing a hold of that because we don't see it anymore. But I'm here to tell you, I told Hess, and I said, that's what we asked for. That's what we believe for. And God has raised him up. We would rather be like the world and fit in than to have moral standards that God has ordained us to have. We see the comparison in our world today, where the enemy is using every tactic and every pressure that he possibly can. Just like the children of Israel had not learned to fight, we too have not learned to fight. Paul said to Timothy chapter 6 verse 12 in that first book, fight the good fight of faith, that you may lay hold to eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Church, you may think I'm crazy, and that's all right. I probably am. You don't have to be a pastor, but it doesn't hurt. I'm just going to share something with you. This is what we get so used to. This is what we fail to realize, that there's a lot of undercurrents in our world today. That's why the children of Israel acted the way they did. They just seemed to listen to the things of the Canaanites and the Amorites and do their own thing and go their own way and kind of fit in with them. And we have fit in and we don't realize what we're fitting into. You stay with me just a minute. How many likes to go to Starbucks? Whoa. Like to go to Starbucks. You know what Starbucks' little insignia is? You seen the little mermaid on there that's half naked? Got somebody's attention. That's a form of worship of Astaroth. And that little insignia, that little woman, half naked woman on there, is called a serene. And a serene is a spirit form that in olden days was on the seashore beckoning sailors to come closer to the seashore to wreck their ships and be seduced by those serenes. Looks like siren, but I think it's pronounced serene. You can correct me after church. That insignia and the two stars between coffee and whatever else it says at the bottom has a significant spirit behind it as well, or significant definition behind it as well. We have gotten so used that we let these things pass us by, and we don't even recognize that the spirit's behind it. Is that corporation, are they based upon idolatry? We talked about idolatry in our Sunday school class this morning. Is that spirit based on idolatry? You choose. You figure it out. The Bible says to shun all appearances of evil. Hello? My whole point is, it's not for you to never go back to Starbucks. That's between you and God. I don't care. Okay? Hello? My whole point is for us to learn how to fight spiritually. My whole point is for us to understand what's around us. My whole point is for us to recognize the devil, to who he is and what he is doing. I do not want to patronize those that are in pagan worship. And I could go on and on and on and on. But I'll just leave that with you, okay? But we would rather fit in than to fight. But Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, that you may lay hold to eternal life. There is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. What are we going to have to deal with, and how far are we going to have to go till we realize that we're running in the wrong direction? How long are we going to have to put up with the devil till we realize that he doesn't have any authority over our lives? How much junk do you realize? Do you realize that the children of Israel got themselves in that situation, and God said, I'm going to leave the Canaanites here and all the rest of them, I'm going to leave them here to be a thorn in your flesh, a burr in your saddle, you're going to have to deal with. How much and how long are we going to realize, and how long are we going to deal with the devil when we don't have to? How long? How long are we going to deal with those kind of things? I shared with you, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, about the spiritual warfare we've experienced that God has given us. God has given us the equipment to fight this warfare. Amen. He has given us the equipment. He told us in Romans chapter 12 that he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has given us all the warfare that we need to fight this good fight of faith. And I've been speaking to you from my heart that the equipment that God has given us that is necessary for spiritual warfare, we have laid aside. We've got all kinds of Bibles at the house, but many of them have dust upon them. We are so complacent about being faithful to God's house, about living as the commandments of God has told us. And the enemy's tactics are destroying the very core values of our walk with God. But can I tell you that greater is He that's within you than he that is in the world? But you've got to take your position in life. You've got to take your position in this walk. We come to this place, we will be like Paul, that we can squarely lift our head and our shoulders toward heaven and say, I'm ready to be offered to Jesus Christ. I've fought a good fight. I'm ready to be offered. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He talked a lot to Timothy about these situations. And a lot of time he was in jail when he talked to Timothy or wrote him a letter. He said, I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Wouldn't it be great if we was on our deathbed and I took our last breath and we had no regrets because we'd fought a good fight. It's not a good thing that we'd be on our deathbed, but it is a good thing that we had no regrets. Amen. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but all those that love His appearing. Remember what I told you about the art of war? We must know who we are in Christ, and we must recognize and understand who our enemy is. We're not even looking for our enemy. Doesn't bother us one little bit to be right beside our enemy and move on to the next stage of our life. So we defend ourselves only through the Word of God and only through the armor of God that He has given us. It is God's Word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's God's Word that brings about the truth as we take on the whole armor of God. It is the blessings of God that has brought us up out of the world, but it's you and I that's going to have to refrain from the world. It's so apparent that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Therefore, we must take a stand and not live with the world, but live for Jesus Christ. Teresa, you and Sister Lisa, come to the platform, please. It is so vitally important that we learn to fight the good fight of faith. That we realize that as Paul was saying, I want to come to you with gentleness and meekness, with a presence of lowliness towards you, that I might come with you to lift you up, to encourage you, to allow the peace of God to show you how to fight this fight. Realizing that we're going to fight as long as we have breath in these lungs, we're going to fight. But oh, let us learn to fight the spiritual warfare. Come against all the fiery darts of the enemy. It should not weary us when we wake up in the morning thinking, good Lord, it's morning. We should wake up saying, good morning, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I'm not giving up and I'm not giving in and I ain't backing down. Devil, you better be on the run and be out of town before my feet hit the floor because God's on my side. Would you stand with me all over the building today?
heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, please. Heavenly Father, I come to you, Lord, at the close of this message, understanding and realizing, Lord, that your word is what we must live by. That there's a lot of things that have changed, and in the transition of life, we have failed to recognize beauty and the splendor of the deliverance that you have given us and saved us and applied the rich red blood that so freely flowed down Calvary. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask you, Lord, what this flesh could not deliver, that the Spirit will in the hearts and the ears of your people this morning. Father God, I pray that you will strengthen. I pray that you will bless. I pray that you will touch. Touch the weary of heart, weary of mind. Those that are overwhelmed, I pray that the Spirit of God will come in like a flood. Lord, we pray that you will speak to every heart and every life. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and eye closed for just a moment, I wonder if there's one here today you'd say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make heaven my home. Would you just slip up your hand right back down and just want to pray with you? Ain't going to embarrass you. I want to make heaven my home. Is there one here today you'd lift your hand real quickly and right back down and say, Pastor, I'm discouraged. I have fought. I feel like I have no strength. I've gone as far as I can go. Would you slip your hand up and right back down? You're here today and you need a touch from God financially. You need a touch from God in your home. Would you slip your hand up and right back down? Would you reach over and take your neighbor by the hand and let's corporately pray just as we believe God for Brother Vandegrift's healing? Let's believe God that every hand that was raised and whatever need they had, that God would move right now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, Lord, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for healing, whether it's for strength, whether it's for the home, whether it's for the mental, Lord, regardless of what it is, Lord, you've seen every hand that was raised. I don't know what it's all about, but God, you do. You see, and you have time for every circumstance and every situation. You can handle it. God, I ask you, Lord, that every hand that was raised, Lord, that you will specifically move upon those circumstances, upon those situations. I pray, God, that you'll open up the windows of heaven. Lord God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will move upon these needs. Encourage, lift up. Lord, you have promised in your word, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would lift up a standard against him. Lord, we're believing you right now, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll put your spirit of fight in our hearts and our lives, that we will fight this good fight of faith. Help us to recognize and understand that you have brought us, Lord, from a life of misery, from a life of burden, and from a life of captivity into freedom. For whom the Son set free, he is free indeed. And I pray, God, that your Spirit, your power, and your anointing, Lord, will touch every heart and every life. Father God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Bless your people. Keep them safe and under the blood of Jesus. Until we meet again tonight at 6 o'clock. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you. See you tonight. You're dismissed.